1 Corinthians chapter number 11, if you have your place there, let's stand together. I'd like to begin reading tonight with the portion that we'll read in just a few moments later on as we have the Lord's Supper together as a church family. Verse number 23 in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, This eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Our Father, we are so thankful tonight for the opportunity we have once again to gather together as a local New Testament church, be able to gather around the Lord's table tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you would meet with us in a very, very special way. We thank you for what this represents tonight. And I pray that it might not just be something we might be knowledgeable of, but it might be something that would affect our very heart. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl who's here tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you would bless our time together. I pray you'll take me tonight as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. Bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Most of you know tonight some things about the local New Testament church, and you've heard or been taught or read at some time when it talks about the ordinances given to the local church. There are two ordinances given to the local church. One is called the ordinance of baptism. In order to be a member of the local New Testament church, you must be saved, scripturally baptized, and there's a very formula for baptism. We're to be baptized after we're saved, to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the authority is given to the local New Testament church, not to a preacher, not to an individual, but the church. So that's an ordinance of the local church, and that ordinance is given to the local church because that's the way you get in to the local church. Now, the second ordinance given to the local church is what we call the Lord's Supper, or called communion. Now, that ordinance is given to those that are saved, that's a part of the local church, that have been scripturally baptized and become a part of that local church. And there's a purpose for which that ordinance is given to the local church. And the main purpose of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, communion, is to keep the church pure. That's the reason God gave it. Now, the Bible talks about as often as. It doesn't say how often you to do that. I'm sure when we get to heaven, we'll find that some did it too much and some didn't do it enough. Some people do it every week. Some people do it once a month, as we do. Some people do it once a year and on and on. And everybody has his opinion on when it should be done. But I think the Bible clearly teaches us, for as often as you do it, there's certain guidelines and principles that are set down in the local church. I've been studying the local church and the ordinance given the Lord's Supper, a Holy Communion over the years. And it's amazing what you observe, how it is practiced by so many different churches. We know there's such a thing as open communion. Any saved person in any local church at any time can go into the church and take communion. We know there's such a thing as close communion, where some churches believe churches of like faith can practice the Lord's Supper together. And then we have what is called closed communion, which is what we practice. Members of that particular local New Testament church may practice that. Now, we don't break fellowship with anyone who practices either of these, but however, we ought to be consistent in what we're doing. Have I observed something over the years about the Lord's Supper that has always puzzled me? I drive through communities and I go to different places for different kind of churches, and oftentimes you'll find a sign posted in the community about Holy Communion. And the sign may say something like this: Holy Communion every first Sunday. Or it may be say Holy Communion every Sunday, or a Holy Communion. And the amazing thing, you go by that same church on one particular Sunday where the sign is not there, or the sign may be there, Holy Communion the first Sunday, or Holy Communion the second Sunday, and you go by there when it's not that particular Sunday, and you find out the parking lot's empty. But on that particular Sunday where the Holy Communion is taking place, you can't find a park. And you find, you wonder sometimes about this Holy Communion. If this Holy Communion is designed to keep the church pure, obviously, I don't quite understand why some people miss three of those Sundays but happen to show up on Holy Communion Sunday. That's always puzzled me about churches. And you see that all the time posted. Then you go to a fundamental independent Baptist church where we know it's a memorial table that's designed for the purpose of keeping the church pure. And I've never, ever figured out how so many fundamental Christians happen to find some way to miss it when you have it. Whether it's once a month or once a year, it seems like there's that problem. Now, we're quick to get on the ones that show up every Sunday and take it, that don't show up any other Sundays, but we're not so we don't seem to be concerned about those who find some reason to miss it when you have it once a month or once a year or every other month or however it's done. And I think there ought to be, both of them need some adjustment. I think anybody who doesn't believe church is important except Holy Communion Sunday has some real issues. The local church is to be important every Sunday. So you can imagine if people can miss church three Sundays and show up for Holy Communion Sunday, they're probably not prepared to be holy, because it's designed to keep pure. Last time I read my Bible, it says it's a sin to forsake the assembly. So if I can forsake the assembly on a regular basis and show up on Holy Communion, I'm not quite prepared to be pure if that's what is designed. And on the other hand, if people intentionally miss when it is being done by the local church, and usually that means, and I'm not saying that everybody that misses it for this reason, but there are a lot of people that don't show up on the Lord's Supper night or communion service because they know that it stands for being pure, and they're not quite ready to be pure. Now, somewhere down the line, we need to get a balance on this and understand that if you don't go on a regular basis to the church, you're not qualified. And then if you don't come on the Sunday that is having, there's something that needs to be taken care of. And so communion is very, very important. And I want to take, I only do this about once a year, but this is the second time we've done it. But I want to do it this particular Sunday, and I want us to understand some things about the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to call it tonight, we usually call it the Lord's Supper, but tonight we're going to call it Holy Communion. All right? And by the way, it is a communion because we're having communion with the Lord and communion with one another, right? So I've prepared this message tonight that I want you to listen to. You don't have to say amen. Don't even have to say oh me. But I want you to have a clear understanding that it's not by accident that we have the Lord's Supper. It is important. It is an ordinance that ought to be practiced by the local church, and it ought to be practiced according to how the Lord set it up. All right? It's the Lord's Supper. It's the Lord's table. It's the Lord's Holy Communion. And I need to understand why we have it. Why is it that Crossroads Baptist Church, the last Sunday of the month, set aside a time and announced in the morning time that we're going to have the Lord's Supper? Why do we do that? We do that because we're trying to practice why the Lord gave it. We're trying to simply stay pure in the sight of the Lord. And if this is what God has set in His church to help keep us pure, then I need to make sure that I do whatever I can from a human perspective to be able to do that, because God knows a lot more than I know. All right? Three R's of communion. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, these three R's ought to be practice. And it ought to be practiced by every person in here, and we ought to take it very, very serious. I ought not to be the kind of person that only shows up in the local church on the Lord's Supper night. If that's the only time I come to the church, I should be waiting till the invitation is given and fall on the altar and say, God, forgive me for forsaking the assembly. So that's not to show up on the Lord's Supper night is the only time. And of course, in fundamental churches, people usually don't do that because we have a clear understanding for the purpose. But also, we should not forsake it. It should be special, and we should be prepared. What are the three R's the Bible teaches us in this passage about the Lord's Supper or communion? The first one is, every time that we come and we sit in this place, we gather around this memorial table, and we see the bread passed out, and the cup is passed out, and the prayer is prayed, and the songs about the blood are sung, We ought to do something. There's something we ought to do. And the very first thing that is taught in this passage during the Lord's Supper, we ought to remember His death. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I don't ever want you to come to the point in your life that you don't remember my death. Remember what this signifies. Now keep in mind, the context of it is to keep the church pure. So the Lord is saying that if you can focus on remembering my death, it's going to help you as a church and as an individual to carry out the purity that I'm seeking the church to have. All right, now look at this passage very clearly. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord, Paul is writing here, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. All right? We take bread. We're going to do that in a few moments. Now, here's what He says you to remember about what you're doing when you're taking bread. Keep in mind, it's a memorial table. It's a memorial table that if I can remember this, it's going to help me to stay pure. Verse 24. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Here's what He's saying, church. When you take that bread, when you partake of the Lord's Supper, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that I died on an old rugged cross. My body was hung on the cross for you. I made it possible for you to be here. I don't ever want you to forget that, because if you can focus on my death and remember that, that will help you take your mind off yourself and seek to accomplish my purpose of seeking to be pure in the sight of God. So I'm the remember. And by the way, I still today cannot read the Gospels, cannot think about Calvary and how Jesus was suffering. Every time I think about how He was beaten and how they plucked His beard, how He hung on the cross and how He's hung between those two soldiers. I mean, He who knew no sin became sin for us. How can I focus upon that, remember that, and not be moved to do what He wants me to do. Remember my death that I suffered on the cross for you. Then He goes on in verse 25. He said, after the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. When you remember my death, remember the suffering of my body. But secondly, remember the shedding of my blood. I was just reading before the service tonight in the Gospel of John chapter 19. And when those two thieves hung on the cross, and when they came by and they broke the legs of the one on the left and broke the legs of the one on the right, and they came to Jesus and He'd already died. And that soldier took that spear and he plunged that spear in his side, and out came the precious blood of the Son of God. He says, when you take the Lord's Supper, remember, I suffered in my body and I shed my blood. I mean the innocent, pure blood of God. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And He says, you've got to remember that. There is no Lord's Supper without remembering my death. There's no Lord's Supper without you remembering my suffering. There's no Lord's Supper without you remembering the shedding of my blood. And when you remember my death, it will help this ordinance accomplish the purpose for which I gave it, to keep the church pure. When you take the bread tonight, remember His body that hung on an old rugged cross. You remember the blood that He was shed, that He shed to forgive you and to forgive me of my sins. The first R of communion is simply remembering. Remembering His death, the suffering of His body, and the shedding of His blood. By the way, I've seen over the years when the Lord's Supper is being passed out and people don't take it serious and they don't understand. It's a holy time. It's a time of remembering. It's not a playing time. You're not having your little young people. You're not having your little bit of juice that you're drinking because you're thirsty. No. You're remembering something. You're remembering that it's symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on an old rugged cross so you could be here tonight. And it behooves all of us to remember His death. The second R is found in verse number 26. And it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. And notice this phrase here, till He come. The second R that we ought to practice during the Lord's Supper is it ought to remind us of His coming again. Remind us of His coming again. Ye do show the Lord's death till He come. You know what He's saying? I don't want you ever to forget that one day I'm coming again. And by the way, when we come to that point of remembering His death, ought to be a solemn time. You can't focus on the cross and see the suffering and the shed of the blood of Jesus Christ and start kicking up your heels. It's a solemn time. It's a time that ought to get to our heart and it ought to touch us. But when I read the second one, the Lord's Supper is also ought to be an exciting time because it reminds me of something. He's coming again. He's coming back. And just in case you forget, remember in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, remember that precious promise. He promised, He said, if I go away and prepare a place, He said, I will come again. I mean, that isn't solemn. That's exciting. You know why? He's coming back for us. He's going to come back and receive us and reward us. So all of a sudden, it's a solemn time in which I think about the cost that he paid, but also to be reminded that one day he's going to come again and he's going to receive me to himself. And by the way, if I have been faithful and living for him and practicing what he set down, one day he's going to reward me, and that ought to bring about excitement in my life. So it's reminding us of his precious promise. It ought to remind us of the precious, the powerful grace that he had. Remember in Titus, they're talking about the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And I ought to keep in mind that if I focus on verses 12 and 13 of Titus chapter 2, it talks about the fact that if I focus on the fact that he is coming again, it will help me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live righteously and soberly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, if I look at this and think about he's coming again, and it reminds me of that, the design of that is to help me to live holy and righteous and godly in this present world. It's to help me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And you put all that together, it's simply helping me to live pure. So Jesus knew what he was doing when he gave the Lord's Supper. If you remember my death, and if you're reminded that I'm coming again, and if you're down and out, think about I'm coming for you. I'm going to reward you. I'm going to receive you. When you're going through this life, you're tempted by Satan, sin, and self, if you just focus on the fact that I'm coming, it'll help you to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, if you're looking for my soon return. I'm to be reminded that he's coming again. And then the third R. First one, remember his death. He suffered in his body, and he shed his blood. I'm to be reminded that he's coming again. He promised to come back. And there's that powerful grace that God gives me in my life if I am reminded of that. But the third R requires us to examine our lives. It's all together. If I remember his death, be reminded that he's coming again. And the third R of the Lord's Supper requires us to examine ourselves. Look at what he says here in verse 28. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this caused many a weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And that word's not talking about sleeping in church. It's talking about dying. That's how important the Lord's Supper is. Listen to me. The Lord is not looking to find anybody in his church who is perfect. There aren't any. There are no perfect people here. But he's also not looking to find people in his church who are habitual sinners who refuse to get it right. Now listen to me very carefully. I don't know if God kills people who take the Lord's Supper unworthily like he did in Bible times. Probably not, because we still have a pretty big crowd. So I don't think anybody's ever died during the Lord's Supper yet. But I'll tell you something. It behooves all of us who participate in the Lord's Supper to follow the principles for which he gave it for. He didn't give this to us to come once a month to eat some crackers and drink a little juice because we can't find anything else to do. It's a purpose for that. And so with the Lord's Supper, if I'm looking to Calvary, and I'm reminded that He's coming again, then it requires me to examine myself. I'm going to go through a period of self-examination. The two things I'm looking for. Am I right with Christ? And am I right with my brothers and sisters? That's what the church, the Lord's Supper is given to a church, not to individuals. That's why we don't take it to the hospital and serve it to people. It's when the church comes together to make sure that the church is right with Christ and the church is right with each other. So this self-examination to make sure. The idea is testing himself as a piece of metal to see if he is genuine. That's all God is looking for me, is to allow the Lord's Supper to test me, to point out my impurities that I might get them right. That's why you have an invitation when you have the Lord's Supper. Because everybody comes into church, has some kind of an issue. And the whole purpose is, Lord, use it. Remind me of your death. Help me to remember your death. Remind me that you're coming again. And then require me to self-examine myself, go through a period of self-judgment, that is, confessing my sins and converting my ways, turning from those ways, that I might prove that I'm genuine. That's all He wants me to do. Prove that I'm genuine. And oftentimes, it is better for me to self-examine myself and get things right and not have God to judge me or deal with me because I refuse to get it right. The Lord's Supper is a great and wonderful, wonderful ordinance given to the local church. And it's a great time. It's a solemn time. And it's a serious time. But it ought to be an exciting time to know that the same Jesus who suffered on a cross for me and shed His blood that I could be saved is one day coming back for me, and He's going to reward me. And I ought to be reminded of that, and I ought to remember Him, His death, but I ought to examine myself. Examining myself is not skipping the Lord's Supper because I have something I don't want to be dealing with. And by the way, just because someone has a problem and skips the Lord's Supper saying, well, I'm honoring it, I don't want to get it, I'm not right, therefore I'll just skip it. That's not the answer. The answer is, let the Lord's Supper help you to get it right. Can I help me to get right? And by the way, God honors that. And so tonight, and next month, and the next month, and the next month, all down the line, keep Holy Communion holy. And the way to do that, remember His death, be reminded of His coming, and realize we're required. We're required by the Word of God to self-examination and self judgment to make sure I'm not eating and drinking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, bringing damnation, whatever that may be, upon my life and upon my church. Three R's of communion. By the way, all three are to be practiced every time we have the Lord's Supper. Let's bow our heads.